Hello, and welcome back to the Language of God. My name is Stefan Delacruz, and I am the Friend of God. On today's podcast, I will be sharing with you part three of the father and child relationship. As I continue in this series, The Culture of God 101. In the culture of God, there are four relationships found in Scripture. The master-servant, also known as the king-servant relationship, the father-child relationship, the friend of God relationship, the bridegroom and the bride of Christ relationship. In this podcast, I will be teaching on the father and child relationship. I will be teaching about the benefits and how they apply to us from the culture of God as we learn to speak the language of God. As I have shared with you in the past podcasts, my definition of the word language is this. Language is more than just verbal communication. It's more than just words or sounds. It is the very culture of that people that make up their language. There are different languages that don't use verbal communication. One that comes to mind is body language. We are all familiar with body language. There is the language of love. And many of us have experienced that language. How about sign language? In one way or another, we have seen or have relatives that use sign language. All these languages don't use words or sounds, but they communicate. So there is more to language than just verbal communication. In my definition, it is also the culture of that people. What about the culture of God? Have you ever thought of God's culture? What it might look like? What it might sound like? In this series, I teach and share with you what the culture of God looks like and how you fit in. Because we're talking about God Himself, this is a very deep subject, these four relationships. How can anyone know what God's culture looks like? How can anyone talk about it? Especially when the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. Now, how can we learn God's language if we have never heard it, if we've never seen His culture, if we've never imagined any of it? Well, if we finish the rest of that scripture, it reads like this. Verse 10, but it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. Verse 11, no one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. Verse 12. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. So the question is this, do we have God's Spirit? Do you have God's Spirit? Why would I ask? Why would you need God's Spirit? Well, think about it. To learn how to speak the language of God, to understand God's culture, and the language of God, as you learn it, allows you to be immersed into His culture until it becomes your culture. When you learn God's language, then you'll understand why God says what He says and does what He does. And one of the best benefits of learning to speak the language of God is that you'll know your destiny in this life. Let's begin part three of the father-child relationship. And here, we're going to see how Jesus introduces the father-child relationship to the world. So, Abraham introduced the father-child relationship, but it didn't take hold until Jesus came and walked in that relationship. Thousands of years went by, and for thousands of years, the people lived in the king-servant relationship and never really grasped the father-child relationship. But it wasn't until Jesus that the father-child relationship took hold. And this is how. When Jesus began to teach, One of the first things he introduced was that God was his Father. Jesus said to the people that he was the Son of God. Today, when you hear me say that Jesus is the Son of God, it doesn't really bother you. But back when Jesus was walking on this earth and teaching, it was a new teaching and very bold. In fact, you could be stoned to death for even implying that God was your Father. Today, we take it lightly that we say God is our Father, that we pray, our Father which art in heaven. For us, today, there's no real understanding of the weight and authority when we call God our Father. But back then, in the time of Jesus, it was a big deal. So big that his disciples asked Jesus, "Teach us how to pray." Luke chapter 11, verse 1 through 13. If you could take a moment and just put yourself back here thousands of years ago, when the disciples of Jesus asked Jesus, "Teach us how to pray," you might think, well, they didn't know how to pray. Well, yes, they did. What they were asking Jesus was something different, something that we just can't grasp, we can't put our mind around, and that is this. Jesus was walking around, teaching and walking in the authority as the Son of God. Many times he called God his Father. That was a new teaching. No one else, no other preacher, no other teacher, no theologians, none of the schools in the area were teaching that God was their Father. And here is Jesus claiming that God is his Father and claiming that he was the Son of God. So his disciples knew how to pray. They knew how to pray to Abraham, and they did know how to pray to God. But they only understood how to pray from the position of a servant. Remember, a servant is distant from the master. And that relationship is not a father-child relationship. It is a king-servant relationship, which is completely different. But a child-father relationship, wow, we're talking different. A child can walk in on a father at any time and ask for help because it's a different relationship. But if a servant does that, there'll be a different outcome for breaking protocol. Now, this was a very deep and culture-changing request that the disciples were asking. Teach us how to pray. They were asking Jesus, how do we pray to God as our Father? I mean, this is new. What do we say to our Father? I mean, how do we approach God as a Father? Because we're servants, we're slaves. How do we have such boldness? And as you know, the scripture there in Luke chapter 11, that Jesus taught them how to pray. It's a very famous prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, as it begins. But imagine when they were asking that, it was cultural changing for them. It was no longer would they be learning how to be a servant of God, but now they were going to learn how to be the children of God and approach God in a different way. You see, they had never seen God as their Father. It just didn't happen. It wasn't part of their culture. They were taught not to approach God or even to speak his name. They were taught it was Abraham that was our Father, and that can be found in John chapter 8, verse 39. And that was it. Abraham is your Father. Don't even dare think that God is your Father. It doesn't work that way. At least back then, that was the teaching. Jesus comes and begins to teach the father-child relationship and begins to call himself the Son of God. The people did not understand this relationship of father-child. They only knew the king-servant relationship, which was a strict relationship, and the servant was far removed from the king. Think about this for a moment. They wanted to know how to pray to God as their Father. No one had ever introduced such a teaching. No one had ever done or said such things. This was brand new, exciting, fearful, and dangerous. They could be stoned to death for calling God their Father. They had never done this. They knew how to pray, but not how to approach God as their Father. When Jesus began the prayer by saying, "Our Father which art in heaven." Now, let's go back for a moment so that, let's take a moment here and think about this. Put yourself back there if you can. When Jesus began to pray by saying, "Our Father which art in heaven," just saying that was life-changing for these people. You know, and for some of you that are learning and listening to this podcast, The Language of God, and you've gone through the king-servant relationship, and now you're going through the father-child relationship, this is life-changing for you because you know Scripture. You know the Word of God, but now it's being pieced together for you, and your spiritual eyes are being opened and taking you from understanding the Word of God to it becoming what you breathe and live, and you're living in the culture of God. It's life-changing. So if you put yourself back there into that time when these men asked Jesus, "Teach us how to pray," and Jesus said, started out by saying, "Our Father," that simple phrase, "Our Father which art in heaven." Wow, those words shook the earth at that time. And it changed those men and those women that were there listening. And it reaches out to us. It changed the world. Because now today, we call ourselves the children of God. It elevated their relationship with God to a much higher plane. A different understanding of who they were in God. A new relationship had just been revealed to them that they now could be a part of. And now they began to see themselves as children of God, sons and daughters of God, heirs to the throne of God. That is incredible. Heirs. No longer a servant of God, no longer a slave of God. They were being set free from being a servant and a slave. They were now free, born into the family of God. John chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, anyone who sins is a slave to sin." It's that simple, guys. When we sin, we become a slave to sin. Now, verse 35, "Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son, a child, belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Imagine that. "Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a child belongs to it forever." Jesus himself, God himself, said a slave, a servant, has no permanent place in a family. There's a downside to the king-servant relationship. There is no permanent place for the servant. But in the father-child relationship, that child, that son, that daughter belongs to it forever. Because you're born into it. No matter where you go, no matter how far you fall away from God, no matter how old you become, forever, 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 you are his son. You are his daughter. What a benefit of the father-child relationship. And this is Jesus speaking. The people of that time, they could not see the promises given to them in this father-child relationship through Abraham. They just couldn't see it. They only understood the king-servant relationship. That relationship that they asked for, if you remember, the one that they asked for back in 1 Samuel chapter 8. Remember, they rejected God as their king, and they said, "No, we want a king of our own, a human king, flesh and blood." In that relationship, the servant is humble and meek. They do not speak at or to the king unless spoken to. But in the father-child relationship, the son, the daughter, speaks with authority about their father and his business. Understand this. The servant will see this authority that the child has, that the son, the daughter has. They will see this authority as pride in stealing God's glory because the servant doesn't speak to the father in such a way, doesn't laugh with the father, doesn't joke, doesn't sing, and doesn't just grab the father suddenly and hug them or take their hand and start running and say, "Come with me, I want to show you something." The servant never does behave in such a way. And when a servant sees the child doing this, the son, the daughter, they see it as prideful, arrogance. They see that child stealing God's glory because they don't have that relationship. Their relationship as a servant is far from the king, where the son, the daughter relationship is close to the king. In fact, the father is not a king to them. The father is their father. The father is the source, and the child is from the source. Once again, those are benefits of the father-child relationship. And disadvantages for the servant, because the servant doesn't have that close relationship. And as you heard, Jesus said, they never will. They will never inherit. Now, the father-child relationship, when it was introduced, its purpose was to bring us back to a right standing with God. Because when Adam and Eve fell, they died on that day. God said, the day that you eat of this fruit, you will die. And they died. But this relationship, the father-child relationship, does something incredible. It brings us back into the family by being born again. Jesus said, very truly, I tell you, no one, and this is found in John chapter 3, verse 5, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. How incredible. The father-child relationship gives us the ability to be born again as the children of God, not servants. Now, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Jesus Christ ransomed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed by everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might be extended to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, everyone knows that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And this scripture clearly says that the blessing of Abraham might be extended to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. He's the Son of God. And that blessing of faith, if you remember, we believe in God by faith. We believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, that he was the Son of God by faith. And so the promises of Abraham fall to you. And because Christ is the Son of God, we now are born into the family because Jesus said, you must be born again. Wow, this is just incredible. I'm telling you, this is just so deep. There's so much here, but I need to stay very surface here. I do want to go further in, but in other episodes, I will take this further. But right here, I'm going to hold it right here. Now, while you walk in the father-child relationship, remember this, you will be treated as a servant until the time you mature and are able to take responsibility of your inheritance as a son or a daughter of God. Remember, you are expected to grow and mature into an adult ready to handle the business of your father's house, not to remain a child all your life and be taken care of as a child. Remember, everything that is your father's is yours right now to use. If you remain a child and holding his hand and letting him take care of you and say, you know, I'm going to live by faith and let God do everything for me. Yeah, you can do that. But it's not an abundant life. But if you grow as you are required to grow and to mature into an adult, every resource of your inheritance is yours right now to take and to use in life. It's all there waiting for you to stand up and to become an adult, to lead, to provide, to protect. It's all there for you right now. And an abundant life is waiting for you. Remember, the promise, all these beautiful promises were not for the servant. They are not for the slave. They do not belong to the king-servant relationship, but they belong here to the father-child relationship. In fact, let me share one verse with you here. Let me share this verse with you. Galatians chapter 4, verse 30. Once again, this is Paul talking. He says this, "But what does Scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman." So I want to encourage you to move on from the king-servant relationship and take hold of the promises of the father-child relationship. That is what is waiting for you. I hope this podcast, The Father-Child Relationship, has been a blessing to you, and that this teaching has opened your eyes, that you are born into the family of God, not as a servant, but you are an heir to the throne. I'd like to take a moment here and give anyone out there this opportunity to be born into the family of God. If this is your first time listening and you have never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior and would like right now to be born into the family of God, say this prayer with me. Lord, I come before you just as I am. I don't have much to offer you, but what I have, I give to you. Take me as I am. I've made mistakes and drifted away from you, but here today, God, forgive me of my shortcomings. Forgive me of my sins. I understand that you died for me so I could be saved. I believe in your words, Jesus, that I can be born into your family. Restore me to my rightful place. Be the anchor of my soul, God. Make me new again. I thank you for your kindness and for your love. Thank you. Amen. Amen. I hope that this has been a blessing for you and that you grow and mature as a child of God in the father-child relationship. Hey, I'm working to have more content available. Please be patient. When you get a chance, check out my website at thelanguageofgod.net. If you've enjoyed this show, please share it with one person this week. If you have any comments, you can connect with me at my Twitter account, Facebook, or by email. You can find this information at my website, thelanguageofgod.net. When contacting me, please include the show title you are commenting on. Go and enjoy life. I encourage you to live. Break free of the things holding you back and live. Shake off the chains that hold you down. Rise up. Dust yourself off and get back into the race. If you thirst for life, come and drink from the river of life and live again. I invite you to drink from the river of life and live again. Have a great day, and remember, you are not alone.